blessed Christmas, and God's grace and mercy and peace be to you from our Father in heaven and his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Please be seated. Do you like giving gifts at Christmas? Yeah, me too. Although I have to admit that from time to time I suffer from, well, what I might call some anxiety in giving. What if he already has what I got for him? Or what if she doesn't like it? I know it's not as personal, but I sometimes resort to that old faithful, the gift card. Whenever I think that the chance of gift failure is high, then I'll get a card and let that person decide for themselves what they'd like for Christmas. Maybe you do the same. In the mid-20th century, there was a Christmas carol written about a little drummer boy who also suffered from that kind of gift anxiety. He wondered what gift he could give to baby Jesus. You know the song. Come, they told me, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Okay, you guys help me with the pa-rum-pa-pum-pums, okay? A newborn king to see, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Our finest gifts we bring, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. To lay before our king, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum. So to honor him, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, when we come. Little baby, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, I am a poor beggar too, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. I have no gift to bring, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, that's fit to give our king, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum. Shall I play for you, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, on my drum? Mary nodded, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. The ox and lamb kept time, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. I played my drum for him, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. I played my best for him, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum. Then he smiled at me, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, me and my drum. Thank you for helping me. It's a pretty little song. It was actually just a little trivia. It was first recorded in 1951 by the Trapp Family Singers of Sound of Music fame. But it introduces a detail to the story that, if we're not careful, can lead us to sort of misunderstand the significance of Jesus' birth. In fact, as we heard in Luke chapter 2 tonight, the only witnesses besides Mary and Joseph and whatever animals were there at the stable of Jesus' birth were that group of shepherds who had been tipped off by the angel of the Lord and his heavenly choir. And they arrived at the manger with no gifts. No gifts to present to Jesus. You might say, but what about the wise men? Well, Matthew's the one who describes the arrival and the audience that the wise men had with Jesus. And the way he describes it, it must have actually happened after the night of Jesus' birth sometime, because Matthew tells us that the wise men found Jesus and his mother when they were living in a house. No, the birth of Jesus was not an event that called for a parade of gift-giving on the part of anyone on earth. The only giver that first Christmas night was God. God the Father so loved the world that he gave his Son to be conceived in Mary's virgin womb and born quietly in a manger. God wanted his gift received above all. not reciprocated. The angel's message to the shepherds confirms this. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you a child is born. Well, pardon me, I went into Isaiah there. For unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, has been born. Born for all people. And so, yes, that includes you and me. All people. Jesus was born your Savior. God's gift to you. Jesus is for you and me. Why, however, is that so hard for us to believe? Why do we tend to view God as someone high above us and unreachable? Why do we sense that we owe God something beyond our ability to give, and yet we feel driven by the notion that we should bring gifts to Him? Well, the scriptures reveal to us that from our first parents, we have inherited a trait that has set us at odds with God. Now, have you ever had a relationship with someone, what I'd call a bad relationship? One in which your relationship is so broken down by conflict that it seems that there's an impenetrable wall between the two of you? Formed through the history of your just not understanding, not getting along, your view of that person is persistently negative because all that you can think of when you think of that person are the ways that he or she hurt you. If you persist in that viewpoint, you remain apart from that person as if there is a wall between the two of you, questioning what he said, interpreting her actions as attacks on you, and preparing ways of defending yourself against them. Sadly, it's like that with all human beings, including me and you here tonight, in our relationship with God. God is the maker of heaven and earth. Everything we can perceive with our senses or understand with our minds came from Him. We come from Him. There is no greater being than God. He is the Creator, and all else is His creation. God is good. As far as we know, He did not have to create the universe. He chose to call it into existence by His word. And since then, He has lovingly sustained His creation and its creatures. He provides for all His creatures. Just think of the Christmas meal that you share with your loved ones and all the special things that you'll enjoy. And think of those as a collection of some of the gifts, just some of the gifts that God gives to you because He loves you. Our lives depend on God. But we have a tough time believing that. Even as I've been calling God good and describing some of His gifts to you just now, I'll bet that there's been a little bit of an inner dialogue going on in your hearts. Is God really so good and generous? If so, why doesn't He give me more of what I long for in life? Why is our world such a mess if God is in charge? Well, those are good questions to ask, but here's an even better one. If God is our Creator and we are His creatures, why do we find it so strange to trust that He is good and cares for us? Isn't it true that we find it very hard to trust anyone but ourselves? Odd, isn't it, for creatures to trust themselves more readily than their Creator? In fact, the Bible teaches us that this is a problem that is common to all human beings. That though we were made to know and love and trust God above all, we get in the way of that by relying on ourselves and trying to go it alone in life as if we are gods and not creatures. This drive to live independent of God, call it pride, locks us into a kind of spiritual conflict with Him, and it's actually responsible for all our doubts and misconceptions about Him. And it's also the true source of the world's problems that we so often blame on God. Think about it. What else but disorder and strife can result when some of God's creatures live in ways that they weren't created for? Pride builds a wall between God and us that we can neither climb nor dismantle. It imprisons us within a life of self-deceit, where we imagine that we're in control of our lives, and we try to be in control of our lives, all the while cutting us off from the one who gives us life. Fortunately for you and for me, God has never turned his back on us, though we have turned ours on him. From the moment that Adam and Eve turned away from God, God never ceased caring for his creatures and for all their descendants. In fact, the night that Jesus was born marked the climax of the Bible's story of God's work in history to free us from our pride and to restore us to him as creatures who know and love their Maker and know that they are loved by their Maker. The song the angels sang declared God's gracious desire to have all people living in a right relationship with him. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. God's peace, shared with us through the babe who was born and laid in the manger. Jesus was born to give us what our pride can never deliver, peace with God and with one another. Jesus was not proud. He humbled himself just becoming a human being. For Jesus is the eternal Son of God who left heaven's glory to bear our burdens and to set us free to really live. Jesus humbled himself by fulfilling the promise of salvation made by the Spirit of his Father through the messages of the prophets that are written in the Old Testament. He humbled himself by being punished for our proud God pretension. Our guilt and our death became his, so that his resurrection life and humility might be ours. What a gift the babe of Bethlehem was born to give us, a new start in life, no longer toiling as hopeless God wannabes, but blessed forever as beloved, forgiven, and Spirit-filled children of God. God is good. He gives us all that we need. And at the top of that list, he gives us Jesus. Christmas is not just about our gift giving. First, it's about his. The best way to celebrate Christmas is to humbly and gratefully receive God's gift by simply trusting that what the angel told the shepherds that first night is true. Christ is born for you. Christ is born for me. Amen. May the peace of the Christ child that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.